Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 4. And we'll begin reading with verse 35. Praise God. The book of Mark is a very fast-moving, powerful book that highlights the miracles of Jesus. And so all four Gospels do, but especially Mark. Amen. I want to talk to you about follow me in faith. Not me, Jesus. In faith. Praise God. So let's notice the scriptures together. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." And when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Verse 38, "But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be, or what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Father, I thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for your divine presence. And I pray that your Holy Spirit anoint your servant to preach, anoint us all to hear, to receive of you. God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Follow me in faith. So basically what Jesus is saying here, and you'd have to have faith if you went through what they were fixing to go through or about to go through when Jesus wanted them to follow him. Amen. Because they had been preaching all day, they were tired, but yet administering all day, and Jesus completely in humanity, but yet completely in deity too, but he did get tired. And Jesus called his disciples to follow him, and he calls us likewise to follow him today. We are not, if you give your life to Jesus, you're really not in charge of your life anymore. And you know, I know that's popular in the secular, very carnal realm to say I have the right to do with my own body what I want to do. You don't, but they say that. But you see, we have committed ourselves to the Lord, and therefore we to belong to him. And God knows what he is doing, and we must believe that. We cannot know what life will offer us, but he knows. Our part is to follow him and trust him no matter what. You may not understand, you won't understand everything that happens in life, but God knows and God understands. And whatever storms may arise, the master of the storm is in charge if he's your savior. And the creator of the ends of the earth are in charge. That's what matters. And we can trust him. Let us make the choice to follow him. Let us make the choice to put our faith fully in him. Amen. Now God gets blamed for a lot of things that God didn't do. And you can tell me story after story where people blamed God for this, that, and the other, and you don't know before the story's over, there's no way God would do that, okay? But things happen. And so here we find Jesus and his disciples after a day of ministry that they were crossing over to the other side, the Sea of Galilee here, and storms could arise easily on this body of water. And even today, it's not unusual even for Sea of Galilee here, and for a sudden windstorm to arise today, not just in Jesus' time. With the warm tropical air from the lake rises and meets the colder air by the nearby hills, and it causes a storm very frequently, very often on the Sea of Galilee. It did then, it does now. And the result is a turbulence, and it stirs up great waves, which make boating extremely dangerous. You say, well, didn't Jesus know that? Of course Jesus knew that. He created it all. Man, he knows what he's doing. But in the spiritual sense, there are spiritual storms that can arise suddenly in our lives. And storms that promote anxiety and fear, and we wonder what we're going to do or what might happen or what might happen to our relative or our friend or the person we're close to. And if you get really in the flesh and carnal, you wish some things would happen to some people you really don't care for. But God cares for people, and so he teaches us to care for people too. But things can happen suddenly in our lives, and God did, I heard a sermon on God of suddenly. Things that suddenly happened. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. You know, there's a lot of things that God did suddenly. But spiritual storms arise in our lives sometimes that just promote fear and anxiety, and we must learn to operate in faith instead of fear. You know, God's given us enough sense to have a natural fear. You know, if you're on the side of a cliff, you got enough. God gives you enough sense and natural fear. You don't want to step out too close there. You know, you might meet 1,000 feet of air with nothing until you got to the ground. But yet in fear, just fear continually of what might happen. But you know, that didn't come from God, because God doesn't want us to be fearful all the time, thinking about what might happen, what could happen, or what we imagine could happen. But you know, God has said in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. A sound mind. Praise God, we could probably translate that a sane mind. Even though you'd question many things that are done today, still God gives us power, love, and a sound mind. Praise the Lord. And we must learn to operate in faith instead of fear. Storms arise to challenge our faith. And when the disciples' faith was challenged and threatened, when they were told not to mention Jesus, this is later on in the book of Acts. It's a couple of books later in your New Testament. They were begin to preach Jesus. This is after his resurrection. They began to preach Jesus, and they were told by the authorities not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore. Because if they did, persecution, punishment, and even death awaited. And that was true. And so they had only one option, that is to believe in Christ, what he said. Jesus had told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God had told them to do that. So that's what they were doing. But they came together and they did what we all should do when a storm in life arises. They prayed. And so they were praying and seeking God. This is about the 4th chapter of the book of Acts. The Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. I want to tell you something. When a storm comes along, God knows it's there before it ever gets there. And I can tell you that he is in charge. He knows what he's doing. And when storms of life arise in your life, if your life is sealed with God, you're filled with God's Holy Spirit, you belong to him, you're a child of God, you don't have to fall into fear and to doubt and despair, but you can believe and trust in the God that we serve. Just review how many times and how many things has God brought you through, and he's always been faithful. And I can tell you he's still faithful. He'll never cease to be faithful. So, follow me, Jesus says, when storms arise. The purpose of spiritual storms, we may not see the purpose of everything, but the purpose of spiritual storms causes us to know that we need the all-powerful God. Knows that we need something greater than we can produce. And you've heard people say, only God could take care of that. Well, there's things that happen in life that only God can take care of. But I want to tell you, God is not absent. He's present. Things happen in life when there's no human solution. And people say, this would have to be an act of God. Well, I want to tell you, God's not dead. He's alive, and he's doing what he needs to do. Praise the Lord. And so when spiritual storms come in our life, what does it do? It causes us to return to an altar of prayer. It causes us to do what the disciples did. When they were in trouble, they called on God in prayer. And they prayed. The place was shaken. God made sure they knew that he was there present with them. Praise God. And so let's follow him even when storms arise, because they will. Second of all, follow me when human conclusions are already made. You've seen people come to human conclusions that were wrong. Let me tell you a story, if you don't mind. Many years ago, when I was younger, and wasn't in the ministry yet. The place I was working for, FMC Corporation, they had a layoff because the oil field was kind of beginning to, it's in the mid-80s, early 80s. It's beginning to flutter a little bit, and so our manufacturing, and we worked as a machine shop. We made machined parts for oil fields. And they told us our job security was wonderful. We had plenty of work, but it's kind of come to a screeching halt there. And I remember that the superintendent of this particular place, he came and he would address us every month once and ask us, told us we could ask whatever questions we wanted to ask. And so one day somebody asked, said, could we have a pavilion built over the parking lot to protect our cars from the weather? Well, he kind of laughed, you know, but then money was good, and he said, well, we'll just talk about it and see about it. I knew he wasn't serious. Well, there came a layoff, and they laid the first set of people off, and then they got down to my set of people whenever I was hired, so they laid us off. And the superintendent met with us, and he said, is there any questions? And one guy says, does this mean we don't get a pavilion over the parking lot? He said, it means exactly that. But things happen to cause us human conclusions. Jesus said, follow me when human conclusions are made, but they don't work. And things happen to cause us to imagine the worst. And Jesus here, and we're talking about the Son of God, the Creator here. There come up a storm on the Sea of Galilee here, and there was wind was strong and the waves were high, and Jesus was on a pillow asleep. And this shows his humanity. He was tired. He had ministered all day. But the disciples, they weren't sleeping. They were thinking, we will surely perish. They were thinking, this is it. This is our time to go. We're not going to make it through. The waves are high. The wind is strong. There's no way in just this little boat that we're in that we can get to the other side. Surely this is the time we are perishing. But how many things happen to you that cause you to lose hope? That lead you to assume that you know the outcome? But let me tell you something different, friend. If you're born again, if you're infilled and dwelt by God's Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit inside of you can talk to you and make you know it's okay, even though every outward circumstances seems like there's no reason and there's no hope and there's nothing left. I want to tell you something. If God's there, there's always time left. There's always God left. There's life left. As a matter of fact, there's eternal life left. God's going to take care of you. God's going to help you. God's going to walk you through the storm. He has authority over the winds and the waves, and He's not going to leave you alone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so why would the disciples doubt? I mean, just before they had seen Jesus heal a paralytic, someone who was paralyzed all of his life. Why would they fear now? Well, a lot of times we don't let things encourage your faith. It should. But without Jesus, we will all perish eternally. But we trust God. We follow Him because we know that we're not going to perish eternally. Amen. We're going to die once physically, but we're not going to die twice, and we're not going to die spiritually. We won't suffer the second death, as it's called in the book of Revelation. Amen. But we can face the storms of life in faith unless we're in fellowship with the Creator. And it takes faith to do this. And I'm not talking about some kind of faith that you got from your latest faith teacher. I'm talking about the faith that the Word of God tells us. In Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so if we put our faith in God, God's not going to disappoint us. He's present. I preached on Wednesday nights, in case you didn't know. Some of you were, most of you weren't here on Wednesday nights, so I'll just preach again. No. I'll just say this. We've been studying about Daniel on Wednesday night, the book of Daniel. When Daniel was threatened to be put in a lion's den if he prayed one more time, he opened his window toward heaven as his usual manner was and prayed three times. And he would be confined to the lion's den for that. And he was threatened by a pagan and heathen authority. But when the wind was strong, waves were high for Daniel. He wasn't on the sea. But when he was in the lion's den, God shut the lion's mouth. Because you see, God is never absent. God is present with his people. God loves his people. God loves you and I. I don't know why he does, but he does. Amen. I don't know why he loves us enough to save us when we're doing everything against God's holiness there was to do. But yet God loved us and God saved us. He loves us. He cares for us. And today, if you're truly born again, you're not living in rebellion against God. You're living, you're walking with him. You're following him. That's what we got to do. Believe and follow. Praise the Lord. Thirdly, we see here that we follow him when he speaks. Praise the Lord. Verse 39, let's look at it. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Now, you know, I've never tried to walk on water. Had one preacher tell me he did one time. He started in the bathtub. Got in the swimming pool and tread water till faith increases. That didn't work either. But we serve a God who is miraculous, powerful, and mighty. He's the one who created all things. I want to tell you something. When he speaks, things happen. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him not anything was made that was made. He's the creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he spoke worlds into existence. In the midst of the high waves, the powerful wind, the darkness of night, nothing or no one ever will or ever has intimidated our Lord. And so he could speak and everything would just be still. And he did. By his own power, not by some political command, not by any earthly authority. Jesus didn't need an expert in global warming to talk to him, since those don't exist anyway. He created all things. God did. I don't think he created that, but everything is good he created. But he didn't need some earthly authority to tell him what to do. The one who spoke worlds into existence, stars and planets, oceans and animal life, and all living things, spoke them into existence. He knew what to do. And when he speaks, his voice is powerful. His voice one day will raise the dead. As he did some in his earthly life, it will raise all dead one day. Praise the Lord. Those who have died in Christ, they'll be risen to eternal life. Those who have rejected him, they will die eternally. But Jesus spoke these words. He said, "Peace, be still." And there was a great calm. This shows the deity of Christ. Who could calm the storms? Just speak to the wind and the waves. Say, "All right, wind, waves, it's enough. Just be quiet." And all of a sudden, things were smooth and calm. None of us could do that. But God could, because he was the creator. When he spoke, there was immediate obedience. When he speaks, all creation obeys. He can speak to the storm in your life. When the winds and the waves are raging in your life, there's a storm in your life, maybe there's been a death in your family, maybe there's been an accident in your family, maybe there's been a tragedy in your family, and you don't know what you can do, but God can speak to your heart and say, "Peace, be still, I'm with you, I'm going to take care of you." You can know that that Holy Spirit is there and there saying, "You're going to make it, you're going to be all right, I've got it under control, I'm the Creator." Hallelujah. He can speak peace into your life. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you." We just got to be following him and believing in him no matter what. Praise the Lord. Last of all, let's follow the God of the storms. Praise the Lord. Follow him through life and all that happens. When father or mother or a close person dies, just follow Jesus. You say, "Do you know what you're talking about, preacher?" Yes, I do. I've had people close to me die, my father and my mother both. I preached both their funerals. Only God's grace helped me to do that. But God wasn't absent ever. When disappointments happen, follow God. Amen. There's a man, there's a woman that had an issue of blood, a hemorrhage. And she came to Jesus in the midst of a crowd. And in her mind, she had faith. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. And she had tried many things. She had been through many physicians of many years, and she only grew worse. And she was spent physically, probably financially, and in every way. But something inside of her said, if I can just get to Jesus, things are going to be all right. And she did. She reached out her hands, grasped the hem of his garment, and immediately the fountain of blood hemorrhage was dried up inside of her. And Jesus turned around, being mobbed by a crowd, and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said, Jesus, here's a mob surrounding you. There's people everywhere. How can you say, who touched me? But the Bible says he perceived that power had gone out of his body. That was the power of God to heal. And she was made perfectly whole. And that's what God can do. When storms of life come, God is the God of the storms. Amen. He can make it where he can make lead you through. He may not always lead you around the storm or away from the storm. He may lead you through it. But he'll show himself powerful and mighty and whatever. So I encourage you, follow him through sickness, follow him through tragedy. He will not be absent, but he'll be present. Just have faith in God. Amen. Trust him, believe him, walk with him, serve him. Don't give up on God. Even if things you don't understand come along, don't give up on God. You need him. He loves you. He cares for you. You say, well, God doesn't need me. You're right. He doesn't need anybody. But he loves us. He cares for us. He wants us. And we need him. And he knows that we need him. And he didn't play tricks on us. He don't play jokes on us. He's a real God, a powerful God, and a faithful God. He will not leave you stranded. He will be there with you. Standing in the midst of a howling tempest on a heaving sea, in the darkness of night, by his own power, he stills the waves and bids the storms subside. None but the God of the storms calls the waters to be calm. The Bible says after this, there was a great calm. It is as if nothing ever happened. Isn't that amazing what God can do? Praise the Lord.